Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to Walk Through the Bible. We're finally getting into the starting gate. It's taken a few weeks to get here, trying to lay a broad foundation of, you know, how things got started and what was going on before Adam and Eve and what was going on in times past. And we've laid a real good piece of concrete. But today, we finally get to open the door to Adam and Eve. So it's real good. Now, I'm going to start kind of in the New Testament and give you just sort of an overview. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And if you got a pencil and paper, you might want to get it. Maybe you just got a good memory. I like writing things down. So Romans 5, 12, New Living Translation said, Adam and Christ are contrasted. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everybody, for everybody's sin. What happened? Adam's sin. And what happened with that? Well, everybody's sin. You know, that sin entered the world because of Adam's sin. So, you know, everybody's born. It's born with a sin nature. You know, the first word a child learns is no. And so, what is that? Well, it's a sin nature. What happens? Well, eventually they need to get born again. And they'll get the mind of Christ. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He said, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? It's dominated by death. Well, thank God. The answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. In other words, he said, I want to do right. I do. I want to do right, but I can't do right. I want to do right, but I can't do right. I'm trying to do right. In my mind, I'm going to do right today. And all of a sudden, you sin. So I tell people, you know, the Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day, but they get back up. So every Christian gets an opportunity every day to repent and forget. Repent and forget. So let's go back and see how this thing got started. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper who is just right for him. Even God said that. God said, hey, buddy, I don't, it's not good for you to be alone. I like you. I created you. But you need a helper. And I used to joke all over. The first half of that word is hell, purr. You need a helper. And so he made Eve to help. And so we've joked about it many times. If you go to your local library, you'll find out that men and women are different. And that when God made a woman, he made something good for Adam. She's got a better immune system, twice vocabulary. She's going to outlive him by 7 years. She thinks quicker and faster. And so we see it, if, you know, when I was a school administrator, even in kindergarten, first grade, boys and girls were very different, what they did, how they responded. And so what happens is you have to learn how to adapt and how to adjust. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. For God made Adam first, and afterward he made Eve. Verse 14, it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result. Matter of fact, some translators say Eve was deceived, Adam sinned. Had sin come? Came through Adam. Why? He knew better. He was here by himself before Eve was created. God gave him instruction. He knew what to do, but he didn't do it. The Bible says, you know, sin is knowing what to do and not doing it. He knew what to do. So God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And then 1 Timothy said, it was not Adam who was deceived. Adam sinned. He knew. It was Eve that was deceived, and sin was the result. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will become corrupted. Now, this is Paul writing the church of Corinth. What's he concerned about? I'm concerned. You're a Christian? Oh, yeah. You're a committed Christian? Oh, yeah. I'm dedicated. I'm devoted. But Paul is concerned. I'm concerned that these dedicated, committed Christians are going to be corrupted, even as Eve was corrupted and deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. So the devil's always trying to take somebody out. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you hit 100 home runs in a row. You're probably going to strike out somewhere because the devil makes a run at everybody. You know, made a run at Jesus, made a run at the Apostle Paul, prayed in the Holy Ghost more than anybody, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, and he dealt with hell all the time. And, you know, Three times his boat sank. He got arrested, got whipped, he got beat. What did he do wrong? Nothing. Hell's, there's opposition. You know, there is an enemy out there that opposes. So it says, Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. So in Genesis chapter 3, it lays out how all this got started. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now I'm reading again from the New Living Translation. Now, I haven't left the King James. I still study the King James. I just don't speak it. I really like the New Living Translation. Verse 1 of chapter 3 of Genesis. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. On the one day he asked the woman, this is the serpent, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? So from day one, the devil has always and will always challenge the truth. Whatever the truth is, Satan's going to challenge it. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of all liars. He's going to challenge the truth. She answered, she said, well, of course, we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or touch it, for if you do, you will die. Well, now, God didn't say that. See, she's kind of misquoting whatever information she got from Adam. God told Adam, Adam shall must tell Eve. Well, she's quoting what Adam said, but she's not quoting it right. She's misquoting it. And so Satan says in verse 4, you won't die, the serpent replied to Eve. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it. And you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. So see, there's the temptation. See, God's holding out on you. God's a little good, but not always good. He's sort of good, but not completely good. God's always good. He's the only thing that is good. But Satan's challenging that. God knows your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it. You'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. Verse 6, the woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful. Its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. People say, well, it's an apple. I don't know. It doesn't matter if it's an apple, an orange, or a cranberry. It doesn't matter. The point is, she took it. Said, so then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Now, number one, she took the fruit. Adam knew you're not supposed to eat that fruit. God told him when he made him, you can have anything on this planet. It's all yours. Take dominion, subdue, have control of everything, name all the animals, name all the trees. You're in charge. You're going to be like me, except I'm over the universe. You're over the planet Earth. And so Adam knew what he was doing. He said, but you cannot eat that from that fruit, from that tree in the middle of the garden. It's the one thing you cannot do. You can do 10 million things, but there's only one thing you can't do. And I used to tell parenting when I taught parenting class, you tell your child, okay, just stay out of that room, okay? Don't go in the backyard, okay? Don't play out in the road. The one thing you tell your child not to do is the one thing they're going to do. Why? It's the sin nature. There must be something special because they tell me I can't do it. There must be something really unique to it because they tell me I can't do it, and I want to do it. What is it? Well, it's sin. You want to sin. And so then she gave some of the fruit to her husband, who was with her. He was there the whole time. He should have stopped her, but he didn't. And he ate it too. God had told him specifically, don't eat it. And that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed some fig leaves together to cover themselves. Verse 8, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Now, God knows where he's at. He's trying to get him to repent. God's trying to get him to answer. Where are you, Adam? Adam replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Verse 11, God said, who told you were naked? Did you eat that fruit from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? The man replied, well, it was the woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit, and I ate it. Then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? She said, the serpent deceived me, she replied. That's why I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you're cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You'll crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust for as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. And he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. And that's the reference to Christ coming in the flesh, by the way. Then she said to the woman, I'm going to sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And your desire will be to control your husband, but he will rule over you. One translation says he will ruthlessly rule over you. So I used to tell people, women's liberation and male chauvinism were not born in the 1960s. They were born in the Garden of Eden. It went south early. And then he said this, since you listened to your wife, talking to Adam, and ate from the tree, whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. I used to my family all the time. Grew up in a big family. My dad had 12 brothers and sisters. So did my father-in-law. And so we get together on the weekends or family reunions, whatever. And you say, well, how's work? How's work? And everybody would say the same thing. And that, well, work's hard. Man, it's real hard. I work hard. Well, it's because all work's cursed. That's why you got to realize you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, which is poverty, sickness, and death, the New Testament says. Jesus became a curse for us. So you acquire that by faith. But God told Adam, because you sin, you're going to struggle all your life to earn a living. Verse 18, it's going to grow thorns and thistles for you. And though you eat of its grains, it will be by the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from the dust, and to the dust you're going to return. Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and Eve. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out and take their fruit from the tree of life and eat it? They'll live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden and sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sitting them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden. He placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Well, that's kind of a depressing story, but that's how everything got started. What happened? Well, they sinned. Sin's got death attached to it. Listen, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. All sin feels good, smells good, tastes good, looks good, but the end thereof is death. You know, when I worked with high school kids for years, I tried to tell them, listen, guys, I'm in your age. I was an ignorant teenage doofus. You know, but nobody taught me the Word of God. We're trying to teach you the Word of God so you can have an advantage. God's will that you live a long time. God's will that you live a blessed life. God's will is that the joy of the Lord be your strength. God's will is nothing but good. But you have an enemy. You have opposition. He's called the devil. And so, anyhow, let's go on down to Genesis 4, verse 1 and 2. Now, Adam had sexual relationships with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. And then she gave birth to Cain. She said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. Verse 2, later she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. Go down to verse 25 in Genesis 4. Adam had sexual relations with the wife again, and she gave birth to another son. She named him Seth, for she said, God has granted me another son to take the place of Abel, whom Cain has killed. Of course, you know about that. And they got in a fight, and God came and asked him, where's your brother? I don't know any lies. No, I know where he is. You killed him. Genesis 5, verse 3 and 4. When Adam was 130 years old, he became the father of a son who was just like him. In his very image, he named him his son Seth. After the birth of Seth, Adam lived another 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So Adam lived to be 930 years old. That's a long time. And he had other sons and daughters. Now, he became a father at age 130. Now, you can't imagine that. How old are you? Well, I'm 123. You got any kids? Well, not yet. We're just getting started. But that's what happened. And so God sets up the story in Genesis, and it's just an amazing story. Now, I've told you before, Genesis covers some 2,500 years of history. 2,500 years in the first book alone. Now, I tell people, the New Testament, starting Matthew all the way to Revelation, covers only 70 years. The entire New Testament only covers 70 years. Genesis alone covers 2,500 years. So you got to watch, kind of keep things in perspective. Now, what this is about it's about being tempted. God told him in the garden, you know, he told him what's going to happen. He knew it. He tried to warn them. They wouldn't listen. And all of a sudden, now they know. They know about sin. Well, sin's got death attached to it. And so you're not going to live forever anymore. And so here's what we have. You got the thing of being tempted. Well, there's always been temptresses. Usually, devil uses what men are weak to, and that's women. So let's just kind of go through these scriptures here and sum up what happened in the garden and what's still happening today, thousands of years later. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 and 5. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Proverbs 5, 3 and 5. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Then the end, she is bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Now, what leads to death? What leads to the grave? The lips of an immoral woman. What's an immoral woman? Somebody's not staying with her husband. She's shopping around. Says her she got lips sweet as honey. Her mouth is smooth than oil. Oh, it sounds good and tastes good and feels good. No, it's got death attached to it. You have to watch out. And so throughout the Bible warns about the devil using women to get to men. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 7. 1 Kings 21, 7. You got the king and his wife Jezebel are talking to one another, and she's mad at him, and she's prompting him, and she's trying to get him to do wrong, and she gets mad with him. She says, "Are you the king of Israel or not?" Jezebel demanded. "Get up, eat something. Don't worry about it. I will get you Naboth's vineyard." He wanted this vineyard from this guy, and he wouldn't sell it to him. Well, she said, "Well, I'll get it." Well, she got it illegally, and people died. Why? She's an evil woman. 1 Kings 21:25. 1 Kings 21:25. No one else so completely sold himself to what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab, and he did it under the influence of his wife Jezebel. God said there's nobody that sold himself to be so evil in his sight as Ahab, and he did so under the influence of his wife Jezebel. Who's the most evil man? Ahab. How did he get that way? His wife Jezebel. How did Ahab get so evil? His wife Jezebel. You know, Jezebel's threatened all the way through. Go back to Proverbs 5. The lips of an immoral woman as sweet as honey. Her mouth smoother than oil, but her feet go down to death. Esther chapter 5, verse 14. Esther chapter 5, verse 14. So Haman, you know the thing of Esther, Mordecai. Haman's a bad guy. For Haman's wife, Zeresh, and all his friends suggested, "Hey, set up a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet tall, and in the morning ask the king to impale the good guy Mordecai on it. When this was done, you can go your merry way to the banquet with the king." And this pleased Haman, and he ordered the pole set up. So what's Haman going to do? He wants to kill the good guy. I mean, not just kill him. His wife wants him killed in a big way. "I want you to make a pole. I mean a 75-foot pole. So tall, everybody in the community can see it. I want you to make a sharp 75-foot pole. Then I want you to take Mordecai, and I want you to thrust him on it and just jam it through him and kill him dead and let everybody see it." Well, that's Esther. You know, in the book of Esther, what is that? That's a bad woman. Judges chapter 16. Judges 16. Samson Delilah. They made a lot of movies about this one. 16 verse 6. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please, please tell me what makes you so strong. What would it take to tie you up securely?" And she's trying to get him to listen. She knows he's got a strength. She doesn't know how he's got it. He's got a secret way of getting so strong. I mean, man, he can whip a whole army of people. I mean, incredible. He can tear the gate off the city and carry it out in the country and sit it on the hill. Nobody can mess with Samson. And this woman knows he's got a secret. Delilah's going after him. She's trying to trick him. "Please," she said, "oh, please, please, what makes you so strong? And what would it take for me to tie you up and get you whipped?" Well, eventually, you know, she said, "My hair." So he's taking a nap. She cuts his hair. He wakes up. He's got no strength. Where'd he go? He's got his hair cut. He took it out. And so, oh, man. Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Job's wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity?" This is Job's wife. "Why don't you curse God and die? Just curse God and die." But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only the good from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job did nothing wrong. He said nothing wrong. What's going on with Job? Well, he's got a mess on his hands. It's the oldest book of the Bible. Man, he's got a mess. But his wife says, "Well, just curse God and die. Quit laying here suffering. Just curse God and he'll kill you dead." And he said, "No, foolish woman, don't talk like that." Then Mark chapter 6, verse 22. Mark 6, verse 22. This is about Herodias. Then the daughter named Herodias also came in and performed a dance that greatly pleased King Herod and his guests. King Herod says, "Ask me anything you like," the king said to the girl, "and I will give it to you." You know what she asked for? "I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And it grieved him greatly because he really respected John the Baptist, but he's got him in prison. And so what can I do? Because a woman got him. A woman's taking him out. A woman did a dance for him. He's all wound up, all excited about the dance. "What do you want, honey? Anything you want." "I want the head of John the Baptist." And that's how John lost his head. That's how the John the Baptist got beheaded. Why? A girl did a dance. So from Genesis to Revelation, over and over and over again, what's going on? Well, you got women that have been taken to seed by the devil, and what the devil trying to do? Trying to take out man. What's she trying to do? Take out man. So, just do a little summation. Romans 5, Adam's sin and sin into the world. Romans 7:24, lives are dominated by sin and death. Genesis 2:18, God, it's not good for man to be alone. 1 Timothy 2:13, woman was deceived and sin was the result. 2 Corinthians 11, Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. Genesis 3, men and women both sin. Genesis 4, Eve gives birth to Cain and Abel. Eve gives birth to Seth. And then all of a sudden, Genesis 5, Adam lived 130 years when Cain was born. He lived another 800 years. He lived for a total of 930 years. Well, what's going on? God tells the truth. What you love about the Bible, God didn't make up a nice story. He can tell about his people that he made, what he thinks about them, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. So God's got a great, great story going on. So guys, stay tuned. We're going to take this. We're going all the way through the Bible. I mean, as things happen. And so it's going to be great. So next time we're going to come in and we're going to get one of the greatest stories of the Bible. We're going to find out what happened after Adam and Eve kind of sinned, got kicked out of the garden, started reproducing. We come down to the next great person in the Bible, Noah. And then it's going to be phenomenal. So stay tuned, guys. God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.